Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Out of, thank goodness, out of Maui, and now with us. Tony, that had to be some experience getting out of there.
Yeah, that's a story for another time. It was, it's way too close, and it is far, far worse than what's being covered right now. I talked to the sheriff on the way out, and he was saying the death toll is going to get, it's going to get around 1,000 people. It's just, pray for those people. Buddy, it happened so fast. There was no warning. There was no way to get a warning out. There was no, it just, I mean, it was 30 feet a second, and we just watched it. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, thank goodness you're out of there and back home safe and sound. So.
No, I appreciate it. I appreciate you guys.
Oh, no. I was thinking about you the whole time. I kept thinking the whole time, like, Tony, because I'm watching this. It becomes exponentially more personal when you've got a good friend there. So, okay.
The videos are detailed, but the thing that was the craziest was the exploding cars, boats, and then the two gas stations blew up. So
Right. When
we got evacuated and we're driving out of there, you know, racing away from the fire, it sounds like a war zone. It's just there's stuff blowing up everywhere. And, you know, buddy, the thing that was the weirdest is that, you know, I'm an athlete. I'm used to high-pressure situations. I couldn't feel my hands. My hands got cold. It was the weirdest thing. So I digress. That's another conversation. I appreciate it.
I know. That'll be a private conversation you and I have about that.
Yeah, exactly.
The Pac-4.
We called it. We said this. You've got to have a clip somewhere where we said USC is going to leave the Pac-12 and it's going to fall apart. We've been saying this for years, you and I, the air.
Yes, I know. But again, you and I are told we have no contacts. All right, so... okay. That's a different topic for a different day. Because we're not going to sit there and list all the people we know. But this happens, and USC, and yeah, it's not Colorado. USC is the Pied Piper that makes all this happen. Yeah. But what made the Pac-12 presidents, and again, let's go back to September last year. You and I talked about the $50 million per school that George demanded, George Kliavkov. But it comes from the presidents, and you and I knew that 30 was on the table for ESPN. What made them think that they could get that much more?
So, it's a long answer. What happened with the Pac-12 started in 2011. And if you look back through the entire time frame,
Is this when Bill Moose said everybody needs to have an equal share?
It was Bill Moose and Larry Scott when they signed the $3 billion deal, and it was the biggest deal going at the time, and they were going to roll out the Pac-12 networks. And if we look at that, and we can get into that in detail, in summary, and then we can go into detail of how this fell apart and why they thought they could get $50 million. The person who comes across actually as kind of the worst bad guy at the end of the process is USC. It's Carol Folt. Because...
Yep.
They believed at the time when they had Texas Tech and they had four schools looking to join. And Carol Folt blocked it. The same university that then left 18 months later blocked four new schools coming in. And when the four new schools were coming in, those were the numbers that were being put in front of them, were $45 to $60 million, right? And the argument was made that we don't need them. We can still drive that kind of dollar amount, especially if we can get our major national brands back to prominence. And that's USC, UCLA, Washington, kind of Oregon. I know Oregon likes to think that they're nationally prominent, but you're not meeting anybody in New York who's watching the Oregon game. And so that's where the number came from. And so it's just like anything else. To try to put it in a layman's terms as much as possible and how it's been explained to me a lot by people who are in the room, right? And, you know, Mike Bone's a friend. Thank goodness for him. I'm not standing up for anything that he... is accused of doing. I don't know what that is, but he was part of the reason that USC got out of this. When people, when their house depreciates in value or something happens, they just have a hard time understanding or appreciating that that's what it is now, right? There's an old saying that the market is the market. It's much like how we're looking at, you know, Penn State grad Saquon Barkley saying, I should be getting historical running back numbers, and the market's coming back and saying, that's not the market anymore. And so he's holding out. That's what happened with the Pac-12 presidents. They just have this psychological disposition that, well, no, that can't be real, that we can't get $50 million and $30 million, which is the number. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. You know it better than I do. I think the Big 12, when USC was going to poach the four teams after Oklahoma and Texas left, was around $30 million, right? It was like
yes.
$27 to $31
million? Yes, yeah. Yes.
So they were. You have a group of very powerful people who nobody says no to them, sitting in a room saying, wait a minute, we could have just bought those four houses for $30 million, and we thought that was nowhere close to enough money, and now you're telling us that's all we can get? No.
Right.
We need 50. And going back to what you said about Bill Moose, so I'm going to bore the listeners for a second unless they care about this, but in 2011, Larry Scott signs this deal with the $3.5 billion deal, biggest deal in sports. He's going to roll out the Pac-12 networks even though he has no carriage rights. He completely blunders that. Larry Scott makes $50 million to essentially crater a 100-year-old conference. But mm-hmm. Bill Moose sits down at the table with Larry Scott and the rest of the team, and UCLA and USC come, and they do what everybody has done with every league that's formed in the past. And they said, look, we are the stalking horses here. We are the biggest brands. We need a bigger share. And anybody can sit there and say that doesn't seem fair, but it is fair. It's not any different than in the Big Ten, right? Rutgers shouldn't get the same share as Penn State. We just know it, and people know it. The English Premier League was built that way, around the top five teams getting more money. And the NFL, thank goodness for the Maras and the Rooneys and the original owners, because they were the same way.
Yep.
New York and Green Bay were driving all the money, and they were taking more, but they were making sure everything was taken care of. So Bill Moose, who, for your listeners, will recognize him from hiring Scott Frost in Nebraska, he was the guy at Oregon that kind of helped them come to prominence under Phil Knight's dime. He hired Michael Oddie, and they got a little more prominent. He is the AD at Washington State at the time, and he comes back and says, no, everybody should get an equal share, and we want to build our sub-brand into national powerhouses. We think Washington State should be a national name. He honestly believed this. And so he demanded and got the teams to vote and the governments to vote to get the same amount of money for Washington State that goes to USC for football. And he takes the money and he spends $8 million on Mike Leach every year, and he builds a ridiculous stadium that nobody goes to in Pullman. We talked about this. I believe that was the day that USC was gone. Right? Because at the time, USC's under restriction from the NCAA. They've got the sanctions on them. The team sucks. Lane Kiffin had been fired a year prior. They're down, and now they're getting kicked while they're down. It was a matter of time before we got to this point where USC said, okay, this isn't going to work anymore. This isn't the SEC. This isn't the Big Ten. I mean, the Big Ten has how many nationally prominent brands? You know, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. You have a lot of nationally prominent brands. The Pac-12, people on the West Coast may not believe this, but I'm sure your listeners would agree, you really don't have much. Arizona basketball, UCLA basketball, USC football, UCB, UCLA football, Washington from time to time, you know, Oregon from time to time. Nobody cares about the rest. Nobody's staying up late to watch Stanford play, you know, Arizona State.
No.
And that's what happens. And so you have these chancellors and these presidents saying, hold on a second. 3 years ago, you're telling us $30 million is nowhere near enough. It's going to evaporate the Big 12, and we're going to go take four of their teams. And now you're telling me I have to accept $30 million? No way.
Right, right. Exactly. I mean, and that's exactly right. And that's what it comes down to. Now, and I'd like to point, to my knowledge, I've never met Carol Foltz. I do know what her reputation is, though, and she is, quote, not a shrinking violet. In other words, she's a very, I mean, she has a backbone to her, and she has opinions.
She does, and she's done a great job for USC. That's the important thing here. In the end, everybody goes back down to the money, and that's what happened here. You have, I mean, if you think about how ludicrous the timeline of this and how this happened is, it is a case study in selfish idiocy. You had these 10-member schools. This is back before Colorado, Utah joined. But these 10-member schools who spend decades demanding an equal share with the national brands, demanding that Oregon State basketball should get the same revenue share as Arizona basketball, demanding that USC football needs to share their money with Cal, who has some of the worst football facilities in the country. They're not even spending it. And you spend decades saying this. You crater your own conference fighting for this. And then the minute the conference looks like it's on shaky ground, Oregon and Washington, the two schools who believed they were closest to USC and UCLA, take a cut-rate share to join the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. So you literally spent decades saying, I am worth exactly as much as these two schools, until Kevin Warren and Carol Fulton and everybody, the big kids, get involved, and they say, you're not. And you can either take what you're worth, because the market is the market, or you can go play in the Mountain West.
I mean, they took the right. And they took the long-term play with the next contract where they're going to get an equal share down the road. That's what they're counting on. Apple offered $23 million, then kicked it up to $25 million.
Yeah.
I don't think people realize, Tony, how tough a negotiator Apple is. And they are, again, let's go back to the term shrinking violet. That's not Apple.
No. So what's fascinating about Apple in all of this, and what's fascinating, I mean, and to get back to the share piece for the listeners, Stanford and Cal said they'd take nothing in their first year in the ACC. So you went from cratering your 100-year-old conference because you demanded every single penny that UCLA and USC got to, I'll take nothing, I just want to be on the team. That is shockingly idiotic from two supposedly prominent universities. Aren't you think tanks? This is you guys have a graduate school of business at Stanford that's internationally prominent. Couldn't brought somebody in to help you out with this one? You ended up with nothing. I mean, talk about buffoonery. And then you went and publicly pitched yourself out to the ACC who said no. I mean, you're supposed to be the Director's Cup champion, right? So Stanford has won 26 of the last 29 Director's Cup. This is the who wins the most national championships across all sports. Because Stanford dominates in the Olympic sports, and they always have. Two, you're going to play in the Mountain West?
Yeah.
I mean, how does that look for recruits? You know how we were going to USC and UCLA and Arizona? We're going to Boise State now.
Yeah.
Who wants to go do that?
Let's go to Fort Collins. Have a good time.
Yeah, enjoy it. So the crazy thing about the Apple point, so to your point with Apple is, one thing that's getting lost in all this is Apple doesn't just make up dollars. If they didn't get this deal, they're not done.
Mm-hmm.
They're not done. They have budget set aside, and they have identified this as a way that they want to continue to build in their live events portfolio. So you better believe that the Big Ten's talking to them. You better believe that the SEC's talking to them about streaming rights, about how do we work around contracts so we don't end up in a position like the ACC is. Which, by the way, we've been talking forever about that grant of rights. How excited is the ACC about that grant of rights right now? Because without it, Florida State is long gone. And Clemson's following them.
Well, I've said this, two parts to the grant of rights. Number one, if it was so easy to break, why are Texas and Oklahoma paying $50 million each between grant of rights and exit fee to get out of the last year of the deal? And number two, Florida State's been grumbling about this for 18 months. If you can't find it in 18 months, the key sentence that can get you out of it, it's not there.
It's not there. And 2036, that's 13 more years, my friend. You got a long way to go, Florida State. A long way to go.
And the numbers are stark. It's a $120 million exit fee, and the total media rights over 13 years involving Florida State is $500 million on the grant of rights. They would have to negotiate an incredible sweetheart deal. You're talking $500 million when it's all said and done to get to 2036. Because every Florida State home game, if they just break it and go, would all revert to the ACC.
Yep, every single one. And so you know that Apple, who knows people that we don't know, is involved in every one of these talks.
Yep.
Every one of them. So what the Big 12 did that was so smart is they went and hired the mega players. They went and hired William Morris. For the listeners who don't know who William Morris is, William Morris Endeavor, William Morris bought Endeavor. Endeavor was Ari Emanuel's firm. The listeners who watched Entourage will know who Ari Gold is. It's that firm. Right?
Yes.
He, he called in. They called in the hitters. Brett Yarmark showed up and said, "I'm not going to goof around with this. I'm going to pay the people who can get meetings I can't get, and we are going to turn this into a power conference." And he did a great job of selling to the universities what that share was going to be. And now he's sitting great. He got Colorado back. I mean, look, Dion's only going to be there for 2 or 3 years. But it's a good win to get Colorado back. They were originally a Big Eight member. And you get Arizona basketball, which really helps with Texas leaving. It plugs in that rival that Kansas needs on the basketball side. But you and I both know this is all about football. Basketball doesn't even come up in the conversation on this.
Well, what's interesting, and your mark has nothing to do with what I'm about to say, but if you notice, where is the grant of rights filed for the Big 12 where you get kind of that kind of corporate relief that you need? The grant of rights for the Big 12 is filed in Delaware.
Yep.
Which is, you know, and a lot of people don't realize that. That's where it's filed. It's in Delaware.
Okay, in Delaware, which is where my business is incorporated for the same reason.
That's exactly why I brought it up, because I knew that. And there are reasons why you do that, right?
Yep.
There are reasons why a business does that and incorporates in Delaware. So,
it's corporate protection. It's very difficult for the states to get involved, because what gets lost in a lot of this work, the one thing that shocked me, where I was a little bit wrong, I'm wrong a lot, so I'm not defending myself, but remember we talked about this. We said the biggest problem Oregon and Washington are going to have it's going to be Oregon State, because Oregon and Oregon State are tied at the hip, just like Washington State are. It's been pretty well known that Washington State wants to move to the MWC, right? They're more local to it. You know, Idaho's right there. It just makes more sense for them. But Oregon State didn't. Oregon State is a powerhouse in baseball. They don't want to move to the Mountain West.
Yep.
Nope.
And now what? Somehow Oregon got away from them. Somehow the legislature allowed Oregon to separate from Oregon State. I'm not that surprised with Cal and UCLA, just because Cal has shown that they don't care about football. Right? They've made it pretty clear that football is just not going to be an investment for them. And for the listeners who don't know, Stanford Stadium used to fit 90,000 people. It fits 35,000 now. I mean, they just blatantly came out and said, "We're going to cut the attendance in half. People aren't coming."
Right. Right. Well, in fact, that's where, when it was 90,000 seats, they hosted the Super Bowl. They hosted Super Bowl 18.
Right. 49ers.
Yep, 49ers beat Dan Marino's Super Bowl appearance. They beat the Dolphins. So
right
now,
Roger Craig.
Right, right. Who should be in the Hall of Fame, by the way. So what now for Oregon State, Washington State, Stanford, Cal? I know Rick Neuheisel, who's very passionate about the Pac-10, 12, 8, whatever, because he grew up in it. He's coached in it at two different places. So it means a lot to him. Is there any way in a package, in a merger, they can survive and at least keep the Pac whatever name?
Yes, but here's the problem. The chip that the Pac has is that they are still considered a Power 5 conference. And there's still a negotiation going around about automatic bids in Power 5 conferences. And there's the Rose Bowl. The thing that gets lost a lot here is the Rose Bowl. The reason this all happened is because this was really the last year the Rose Bowl had the ability to say, "I want it to be, you know, Big Ten, Pac-10," right? That part of the contract expired after this last game. And now it's going to make it easier. The Rose Bowl is basically saying, look, we're part of the CFP now. That tradition is not going to be a part of what we're doing anymore. So, you know, the problem is, we talk about this a lot. We talk about major markets, but then we talk about the actual traction that people have in a major market. And so the schools that are thrown around pretty regularly are kind of like the mid-major that want to be bigger, the Fresno States, the San Diego State. I mean,
State.
I would challenge anybody in Pennsylvania to even point to me on a map where Fresno is. Right. I mean, we know where it is out here. I used to drive through there. But Fresno, you know, they use a lot of loose numbers to say, well, the entire valley is technically Fresno. Therefore, we have, you know, 600,000, you know, viewer homes signed up as opposed to 200,000. But it's not. I mean, it's a really wide base that they're trying to get to. Boise State, you know, schools that you would know if you're watching late night games. But they're just not nationally prominent. So the biggest problem that they have, and why they need why they really need some kind of merger with the ACC is the bid to the CFP eventually. They don't want to become a Group of Five school. The problem for your listeners that may not know is that, you know, the ACC, unlike many conferences, actually has fairly interesting academic academic requirements, and Washington State and Oregon State don't meet it. It's the same thing as the funky NC State thing. Like, NC State could never go to the Big Ten because they're not AAU or AUU or whatever. Yeah, yeah, they're not
AAU.
Yeah. And so there's Washington State and Oregon State, they could never make the case to get them into the ACC because they're just not prominent schools when it comes to, you know, the academic side. And then the one that's really lost in the wash here is Arizona State. I mean, the number five market in the country, it's more populated than just about anywhere now. It's growing faster than anything. They should be a superpower, but they just can't stop fumbling over themselves. And now where are you? Right? You're thinking, man, we've had some hard times at ASU since Jake Plummer left, and now we're in the Big 12? What the hell just happened?
Yeah. Well, the next time we talk, I want to... Something that is lost in this is that networks have paid out so much money for rights. There is a limit as to how far you can go, which the Pac-12 found out, because ESPN desperately wants to keep the NBA contract, and they want to keep the college football playoff contract in some form, you know, at least have the semifinals, the finals, maybe an opening round. But see, I want to get into the next time we talk about these network entities trying to make sure that they balance their books while also making big bids on rights, and how they prioritize who is a must-have versus nice-to-have.
You know, it's going to, you and I talked about this, right, buddy? It's going to come down to what the NFL and the English Premier League did, right? There's haves and there's have-nots. And if you allow that have and have-nots to get too wide, well, the have-nots start to disappear. And you start to create super conferences, which is, this looks exactly like the English Premier League, where the top teams just eventually broke away from 100 years of tradition and created the English Premier League. Right, and so we're eventually headed towards what it seems what you said years ago on the air, right? We're all in a 64 team conference, and you've got your mega conferences with your divisions and your playoffs and your national championship, which in the end, to me, seems like the most logical, you know, endpoint. Anyways, I played a non money sport in school, so I went to USC to play volleyball and basketball. Basketball is a money sport, volleyball is not.
Yeah.
Those football players, I was friends with all of them. You remember many of them. Carson Palmer was in my Bible study. I knew Barry Zito. Yep. Chris Claiborne was my lab partner. And he got drafted seventh overall.
Yep.
They are there to study football. Mm-hmm. And everybody hand-wringing and saying, oh, well, this is an academic institution. You can make just as much money, have just as much impact on the world, and have a great vocation in football as you can in anthropology. It is a job. So this hand-wringing about, I can't believe USC is going to fly all the way across the country to, why not? If they're going to end up being scouts or coaches or working on the business side of an NFL team, that's what they're going to do. The Philadelphia Eagles staff flies across the country on the weekends. They balance their work with needing to do that. Isn't college for that, to prepare your vocation for the real world? So I think I think we've got a couple of things to talk about, but I'm on the other side of that. I think these football players, this is a good thing for them.
I am too. I think in the end, it's not going to be as complicated as people think. And there's a way with the other sports to make it work. My friend, the fact that you're safe and sound is, and your family is safe and sound is all it means to me. But it is, man, that went fast, didn't it?
Oh, goodness. Yeah. I enjoyed it. And next thing you know, we're going to be talking after you guys pound out West Virginia, right? You got them in a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yep. 2 weeks from Saturday. So I think I'll go to practice.
I cannot wait to see your quarterback. If you guys have a quarterback, this could be your year.
You're going to like him.
Going
to like him. You're going to like him. Okay. My friend, always a pleasure. I cannot wait until the next conversation.
All right, buddy. We'll talk soon.